This podcast is brought to you by The Province.
The Province Sports Podcast.
Podcast of the new year. Happy new year to everybody. 2017 off to a good start for the Vancouver Canucks. We'll talk about it with Jason Botford in a second. The Patcast, a presentation of Eagle Ridge GM and Coquitlam, proud sponsors of the BCHL Coquitlam Express, and your number one overall pick for selection and inventory. Check them out in Coquitlam, two blocks west of Coquitlam Center, 2595 Barnett Highway, or visit them at eagleridgegm.com. Botch, Canucks have won five in a row. Nikita Trampkin is talking. It's a happy new year indeed, unless you're Anton Rodin. We can get to that and other things. But honestly, from the depth of a nine-game losing streak not that long ago and a disaster in Carolina that marked a 1-4 road trip, somehow, some way, the Vancouver Canucks are the hottest. Well, no, they're not, because Columbus is on the run that they are. But in calendar year 2017, they are the hottest team in the NHL.
Also, though, having just played two of the most god-awful teams I have ever seen. Like, I can't remember seeing two worse. Like, I thought the Avalanche were the worst team I had seen in years in Rogers Arena. And I would suggest the Coyotes would they would kill the Coyotes in a series, you know, 4-1 in a 7-game series. Like, the Coyotes are that bad. There is nothing going on with that Arizona team at all. They provide nothing. They do nothing. It's just nothingness.
No, I left the building last night sort of asking myself, like, how many times could they have played that game before Arizona would have scored a goal? Like, they could have played all night, and I'm not convinced that the Coyotes were going to score a goal
last
night.
Right, you saw Mike Smith went off after the game railing about how they were just that. Like, they weren't even close
and he was spot
to
on.
Scoring a goal.
No, his comments were bang on, too. Like, you hate to, you know, knock a guy for pitching a shutout like Ryan Miller did, but come on.
Yeah.
That's about as easy a shutout
an asterisk
as you're getting in the National Hockey League. What does five straight wins mean in the big picture for this organization?
You know, it means hope. It means, you know, there's some confidence in the room. When I say hope, it's not like it's hope that they're going to win a cup or they're going to contend for a cup. They understand. Believe me, they understand the reality of the situation. Like, after the game on New Year's Eve in Edmonton when I was there, like, a bunch of those guys were, like, mawkishly shouting out, "Juggernaut! We're a juggernaut!" So, like, they know the score, okay? But there's hope that it's not the end of last year when nothing mattered. That, you know, we're... And Horvat, I talked to Horvat about this last night, and he said, like, there are times, like, it's super embarrassing. Just, I don't want to go outside. I don't want to go to a restaurant. Like, I'm just embarrassed to be a part of this team, and I don't want to go out there. And he's, you know, he said that was the feeling certainly during the 9-game losing streak. And I would suggest, like, end of last year, same thing. End of the Torts reign, same thing. So there is hope that they will avoid that type of embarrassment and do what management wants them to do, which, I mean, they want them to quote unquote compete for a playoff spot, which to me is like, we want to finish 10th or 9th.
That's how bad it was for Horvat, eh? You're a big hockey star in this city, and you have to phone for delivery. Right. You won't go out for dinner. Maybe some takeout, but you send a friend or somebody to go get it.
And he wasn't alone. Like, there was, like, Burroughs felt that. Like, there's a bunch of those guys that felt that way. And I get it. And I think this is the first time, especially for Horvat, where the team's winning a bit, and he's, like, leading the winning. Like, he's part of the line that's carrying the bus or driving the bus. And so it's going to be a really different vibe for him being out, I think, walking around Vancouver than it usually is.
I'm not convinced that he couldn't carry a bus right now.
It seems like it. It seems giant.
He's got wiener dogs named after him.
Oh,
like,
God.
Everything.
I don't even start with the wiener. Okay. I don't get it. Like, what?
Well, as a parent, I don't like the fact that, you know, those kinds of decisions can be based on, you know, one guy scoring a goal.
But
like, I don't want my
kids. The kid was getting the dog. whether he scored or not.
See, I wanted to get to the bottom of all this. There's a part of me that thinks that the family already has the dog. That the sign was just done for effect to get the attention. I think they've had the dog for weeks.
Yeah, I believe that they either are buying the dog, no matter what.
They've got the dog.
Or already have the dog.
Yeah, I think they've got
that. That it was just pure, we want to be, pure spotlight hogging.
Well, and the kid played it like a fiddle, though. Like, he played the city. I mean, people yeah. talking. If they're not talking about road salt, they're talking about wiener dogs.
How does wiener dog get that pot? Like, I don't understand how it gets that. Like, I saw the sign. I saw him score the goal, and I could not believe after the game, like, Earth was going, like, people were going crazy in the locker room, lining up to interview Horvat about Wiener Dog, okay? And then and I felt like, okay, this is weird. Like, was it really that great a sign? Is it really that big a deal? I didn't get it. And then today, I see it everywhere again. And then IMAC comes to the rink, and he goes, yeah, I got to ask Horvat about Wiener Dog. And I'm like, what? And he's like interviewing Horvat on Wiener Dog.
Miller gets a shutout. Sutter scores a penalty shot goal. Horvat gets the 3-0 goal that's just piling on against the worst team in the NHL. And Wiener Dog is the great takeaway from last night's game.
Yeah, but apparently there's been other signs.
There have.
Right. So it's just part of a pattern that other people, it's not even unique.
Well, it was because most of the signs I've seen, now I don't profess to be an expert in this regard. Most of the signs were like, hey, Joe Smith, if you score a goal, my dad's going to get me a puppy. This was breed specific,
okay.
Which I think set it apart a little bit.
Makes a difference, I guess. I don't, man.
That's the world we live in. That's the world.
I saw it and I'm like, this is like super cheesy. I don't understand. Like, this is right up like Puck Daddy's alley. And then sure enough, it was on Puck Daddy. But I did not think it was going to get the wave was going to carry over into today. So I didn't ask IMAC, but I wonder if like an editor here called him and said, like, you got to do a Wiener Dog. Like, this story is too big. Botch ignored it in the provies.
Well, somebody,
you didn't write about it last night. We need a story in Wiener Dog. Like, I need to get to the bottom of this. In fact, I'm going to go upstairs and ask.
And somebody is going to mix these stories, the cold weather and Wiener Dog. And does Wiener Dog wear a sweater? Does he wear a Bo Horvat jersey? Like, is there somebody making a Bo Horvat jersey for Wiener Dog now? You know what's happening.
At least it momentarily got people to stop talking about Sven Berchi's healthy scratch. Because that was every single day. Like, Willie was being asked about the scratch. Berchi was being asked about the scratch. Like, I cannot tell you how many times those two guys have been asked about this scratch.
Right. So that was one of my favorite moments post-game last night was Moj spent Christmas in Vegas and was in Phoenix, right. I think, for a while. Hadn't been around the Canucks for – he's back at the game last night. He comes in post-game and, you know, yes, Berchi scored, and so he's part of the storyline there. But I think Willie probably figured he was getting through this night
right.
without having to answer that question again.
Right.
And Modes hasn't been around the team for a little while. So he offers that up and you could see the look of resignation yeah. in Willie's eyes.
He rolled his team, eyes. I rewatched that. He rolled his eyes a couple times.
3 years to get to 5 wins. Like, there's the storylines are there.
Yeah.
And it was this look of really, really? Do you have to take me, lead me down this road?
Yeah.
You got Wiener Dogs we could be talking about, and you got to ask me about the healthy scratch.
Yeah, I mean, I really admired Moja's outfit. Like, he had this golf shirt on with like a big plunging neckline, and I was like, I gotta get a screen cap of that in there. So I rewatched that whole press thing a couple of times, and yeah, he rolled his eyes, even rolled his eyes at my question, which
like, he likes your question.
Usually, he did not like my question last night, though. So I had to reframe that same question to try to get on his good side today. Like, not on his good side, but I wanted to show him because I rewatched it. I saw him roll his eyes at my question and I thought, shit, like, I got to reframe this question and come up with some kind of smart way to ask it tomorrow so he will appreciate my question more. And I think I accomplished that.
Oh, so if I go back and watch today's video, I'll see.
There's no video today, but today,
no,
like.
No video.
No one, really? Yeah, it was a great, was it even on the radio? Did you guys even?
No, we don't carry practice days, generally.
I don't think that there was anyone from the radio there.
That's because
no video.
Everybody was focused on the big man. Right. The big man spoke. I wasn't there. You were. Was it glorious? It's funny because I tweeted out when we got word the other night that, you know, something was coming down the pipe and then it looked like they were going to make Trampkin available. There were people that thought that somehow we were going to get Trampkin on the podcast, like a third wheel here on the podcast.
Dude, I kind of thought that. Like, I honestly, because the way it was being painted by the Canucks staff was like, oh, only you and J-Pat are like focused on Trampkin. I didn't think anyone would really be into the Trampkin interview. What? And then as the news got out, and then the days, there was a couple of days in between where we knew he was going to be talking on Thursday and then the actual interview, more and more people started telling me, I'm going to be there for Trampkin. Are you doing Trampkin? Like, I started being asked all the time if I was doing Trampkin. And then I started to realize in my head, man, this is going to be a gong show. Like, it's going to be like seven cameras. And it's going to be like, you know, Murph asking questions and Irv's probably, their Sportsnet's probably going to double team it. TSN's going to have a couple guys there. And it was pretty much how it went. Like, it was super awkward. The cameras never left. I was hoping for, I kept waiting and waiting and waiting. Like, I'd throw out, like, I had some lame questions and filler questions to throw in there to kind of throw people, so people would think I was done, and then they would walk away, and then I could get to the real nitty gritty stuff with Trampkin. Like, and a couple times they left, but then they looked over, they saw we were still talking to him, and they returned. So the whole thing was pretty awkward, and I think he was pretty defensive, like just pretty aware that he wasn't going to say anything that could conflict. I was telling you earlier, there was a report late last season, I think by DT, that he had played the end of the year through an injury. And so Woodley was trying to go down that road, and Trampkin was having none of it, denied it, said it didn't happen, wasn't injured. So right there, I knew, like, this, okay, he's way too guarded here.
Like, I was crushed because I was working the radio today, so I couldn't be there. I'm at, you know, most practices. When there aren't other assignments to take me away. So, you know, we've been beating this drum for what, months now about the availability of Nikita Trampkin, and then right. I couldn't be there. Was it English? Was it Russian? Was it a mix? Did he tell stories? Did he laugh? Were there jokes?
There were a couple times he laughed, but when the translator translated, there was no joke. So I think that a couple of the jokes were missed, possibly. There was some English. He described in English how his parents watch all his games and they love that he's playing in the NHL and they love Vancouver. I also asked him, like, what would happen? What would be the situation if he still weren't playing? Because that is entirely possible. If Gudbranson didn't have wrist surgery, he would be in the lineup right now. He would be playing with Ben Hutton and Trampkin would be the odd man out. So what would have happened if Gudbranson never needed the wrist surgery and Trampkin was still riding the pine? And he did say, like, look, I'd have to consider the, like, what do you think about going back? And he said, yeah, I'd have to consider that as an option. It's something I would have had to think about. But obviously that's not how it worked out.
Every game, it seems, he gives you something, a lot of his, and it's little subtle things. They show up in the provies because, you know, we're still learning on a nightly basis kind of what he can and can't do. Did anybody ask him about flying down the center of the, taking the puck and lugging it through the neutral zone and building speed and then winding up with the big slap? Like, he looked like he hurt Mike Smith with the big slap shot, or at least he handcuffed Smith with the slap shot there last night.
No, I was talking to Spies about that, and he said he skates like he's 6 foot and 190 pounds, and you can tell that he's gaining confidence. Like, it's not a play. I suggested to Willie it's not a play he could have done at the beginning of the year, and he said, well, he wouldn't have the fitness to do that at the beginning, because apparently I got to look it up, but he said it was at the end of a shift. He said there's no way but it would have been able to do that at the start of this year or the end of last year. So the Canucks are still riding that fitness narrative, even though the first game of the season was October 12th. He played on November 3rd. So that's less than 3 weeks he was in the lineup. So how much training, how much fitter could you be in, you know, 19 days? Is it possible you could? And someone had said, like, was it working out or is it nutrition? And Willie said, oh, it was nutrition. So if you started eating more nutritiously right now.
What was he eating then? Oh, now we got to get to the bottom of the big man's diet.
I don't know. That's a great question.
What's fueling, this 6'8" beast?
I needed you there.
Oh, now I'm upset. I want to know what does Nikita Trampkin eat? Or what was he eating that he shouldn't have been eating?
But Willie did say that he kept telling, like Trampkin kept telling him, like he should be in the lineup.
Really?
Yeah. He was steadfast that he should be in the lineup.
Did he ever threaten the coach?
I don't think he threatened.
Did he ever pick him up by the neck? Up against the wall?
But could you imagine if at the time we knew that not only was he refusing to go to the AHL, but we also knew then that he was telling the coach that he should be in the lineup, that there was a guy in there that he knew he was better than, and he kept telling Willie. And I said, how do you think he handled it? And then even Willie had to say, well, looking back at what happened, you gotta say he handled it pretty great, because guess what? He was right.
Did he name names about who he thought he was better than?
Does he really need to name names?
Well, maybe he's got this list now. Maybe there's a handful of guys that he thinks he's better than.
Someone like was pointing out today when the Canucks acquired Philip Larson, if even Mark Spector knows that Philip Larson is not an NHL player, it doesn't speak well to the Canucks pro scouting on that one.
PatCast is brought to you by Eagle Ridge GM. Check out on the website, eagleridgegm.com. Beat the trade deadline with trade-in bonus days. Get up to $1,500 bonus on your new vehicle. And again, if you're ringing in the new year and you're thinking about buying a vehicle, check out Eagle Ridge GM, the website, eagleridgegm.com. All right, so you mentioned Philip Larson, and this is an organization that made the deal, signed him, brought him in, and gave him every opportunity off the hop to prove that he could play in the NHL. Anton Rodin, on the other hand, doesn't seem to be given any opportunities to prove he can play in the NHL.
Right.
What gives there?
What I've been hearing.
Are those air quotes?
The kind of buzz around, like there's something weird going on.
Sure there is.
Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, if he's not playing against the Coyotes of all freaking teams, when you got Megna doing jack shit playing with the Sedin twins, and the Sedins aren't doing anything, but at the same point, they're not getting scored on. Like, they haven't been scored on with Megna there. And that's, so they're still playing well defensively if they're not producing offense, because they're still going up against top defense and top forwards, and they're not getting scored on. So if they can do that, not get scored on with Megna, I'm pretty sure they could do that, not get scored on with Rodin, especially against Arizona. So alarm bells go off when you see that Rodin's not given that game, that particular game. You also see that he's being cut short in the games he does get played. He's getting benched super early in games. And there is buzz that there's some question still about his conditioning and where his conditioning is at. So I'll buy that. I think that's something seems to be a big thing for Willie. Didn't want Trampkin, wasn't quite in good enough shape at the beginning of the year. To me, it's possible he still doesn't believe Rodin is in good enough shape right now to trust him in a role where he's going to have to play 15, 16 minutes.
The 15, 16 minutes, maybe, but his conditioning was fine to play 10 minutes the other night against a bad Colorado team.
Yeah, but he got benched.
That's
with
what I'm
12
saying.
Minutes to go.
Right. And replaced by Michael Chaput.
Right.
How did Michael Chaput earn the trust of this head coach? By playing. Somehow along the way, Michael Chaput, guy gets called up from the minors. Yeah. Willie Desjardins has no history with Michael Chaput. Now Michael Chaput is this go-to guy when others can't be trusted in certain situations. And again, it drove me nuts on Monday against Colorado. That's the 30th place team in the league. And Willie Desjardins is making tactical decisions to protect a 2-2 tie.
Right.
Like he's playing right. to prevent getting scored on by the worst team in the league on home ice when you're on a run, your best run of the season. You've got confidence as a group. Right. It's a game that's there begging to be taken. And maybe Rodin scores a goal or does something offensively to set up the winner. But no, you park this guy in place of a fringe NHLer who doesn't have a goal this season but somehow was able to earn the trust of this coach by getting ice time in these situations.
And the same can be said. I mean, it's the same. Magna's the same story, yep. right? Like Magna, if you go back to the beginning of the year, he started off playing like 7-8 minutes. And by game five, he was playing 17 minutes. So, yeah, Anton Rodin needs a 5-game stretch where you could, I don't care, start him in game one on the, like, have a plan. On game one, he's on the fourth line. Maybe in game two, he's there. At some point, he gets elevated to the third line. And if all goes right, at the end, you know, that fourth or fifth game, he's playing with the Sedin twins because he's an offensive guy. You brought him over here to produce offense. The Sedins have literally no one to play with. He refuses to play Eriksson with them. That's not an option. Burrows, I get, because like I wouldn't change a thing about what's happening right now with Berchi, Horvat, Burrows. I agree. Keep those guys together. But obviously, there's a huge hole in the Sedin line. You have the Swedish Elite League MVP that you brought over here to produce offense, also happens to play right wing, playing with the Twins. Like, you need a plan to get him to a point where he's playing with the Sedins.
I don't get it either. And, I mean, I'm with you when you say he needs a 5-game run. I don't see a scenario without another injury where this guy's going to get any kind of run whatsoever. Now they bring in Reed Boucher. So is Rodin ahead of him or behind him on the depth chart?
Behind, I would think. I mean, why else would you bring in Reed Boucher?
I hear you.
If you believed in Anton Rodin, are you going to bring in Boucher?
No, but we're sitting here talking about Rodin needing a run of games, and now he's finding himself even further down the depth chart. So
potentially,
the idea of a run of games for Rodin without another fairly significant injury up front to the Vancouver Canucks, I just don't see it happening. And so I don't get what's going on.
You really don't think he's going to get a shot with the Twins at some point? Like, by my rationale that the conditioning is still not there, that he's spent too much time rehabbing the knee, that he's still not in game shape. Let's give him the the magical Trampkin 19 days. So that takes us to toward the end of this month. You don't see a game in that end of the month where he's starting the game on a line with the Sedin Twins. Do you see that happening?
Is this win streak still going by then? Or are they at 20? No, they're not at 20 games.
No, they've lost a couple. They're on a 7-3 in regulation and 1 or
a couple overtime shootout losses along the way, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess the answer to my question is no.
Wow. That's crazy. I can't even believe that this season ends and that guy is not given. And Hansen misses like 2 months of the season.
Right, but that's part of the... Hansen should be back by the end of January.
Yeah, you're right. Well, that's... Yeah, he will be back by...
But it's foolish to suggest there won't be another injury in there somewhere. Like, this team's not going to go the rest of the season without guys getting nicked up. I mean, Alex Burrows comes down with a scratched eye. Things happen, right?
Yeah.
I would think that Burrows with the Twins might be more of a likely possibility than Rodin.
How? Why? Why would you think that?
Because he didn't play the other night. Horvat and Berchi score. They don't skip a beat. Last night, I didn't think Burrows played all that well.
They scored. Coach couldn't wait to get Rodin off that line. He couldn't wait to get Burrows back there.
I get that, but I'm saying Horvat and Berchi didn't skip a beat with Burrows out of the lineup.
I don't know, man. Like, Burrows has made I think you're right. I think that they produce offense and they will produce offense with or without Burrows. Where Burrows has like this like huge impact is making that line a good defensive line that keeps its head above water. Like, even when they're putting up points in the second half of last year, most nights they were getting their heads kicked in. Like, they didn't have the puck a lot. They were getting the puck control. Burrows has changed all of that. Like, the difference that Horvat has defensively playing with Burrows and not playing with Burrows is massive, and it's not worth putting Burrows with the Twins. I'd keep it status quo.
And that's fair enough. And I think, too, we have to remember, like, there really is very little that you can take out of these last two wins. They extend the streak. They didn't throw up all over themselves as a group, I'm talking about.
Right.
But it was Colorado and Arizona, as we pointed out. You know, there just isn't much there.
Right.
There are much tougher tests ahead for the Vancouver Canucks. But, I mean, how much longer can you leave Magna there? They're on a 5-game win streak. This guy's got nothing to show for five games. Now, Daniel hasn't done much either. I am a little concerned about Daniel, to be perfectly honest with you. One goal in 12 games, and it deflected in off Jack Johnson in that caller in the Columbus game. Like, it wasn't even a shot that was going towards the net. It deflects off a defender and in. One goal like that in 12 games? I mean, that is, those are dark days for Daniel Sedin.
I think that it's reasonable to be concerned about the Twins still being front line. And it, like, we're getting to the point where you start to wonder, although you do have to factor in that Sutter and Magna are two of the worst line mates that they've had in 10 years in Vancouver. And they've had them kind of back to back. So I think that that's had a huge impact on what they're able to do and what they have done. At the same point, they haven't been great. You know, they're still going up against the top lines and the top pairings and all of that. And that's doing what we all hoped it would do, because Sutter's the shutdown guy. It's giving easier matchups against Horvat, who got opportunities to go up against Hanzel all night, you know, and they produce a couple goals against Arizona's third pairing. But at the same point, how sustainable is any kind of quality hockey for this team if the Sedins are not first line players?
And I think you make a point that has to be underscored there again, that even when they're struggling, and maybe that's why they're struggling, is those matchups that then frees up Bo Horvat. As much fun as it's been to watch Bo Horvat here on this run since Christmas and Berchi over these last 12 games, you know, a lot of that is facilitated by the fact that the Twins are still drawing the top defenseman on the other side.
Right. And Sutter's taking, and Willie's been really good at matching Sutter. He's been coaching lately, and he's been really good at matching Sutter against the other team's top lines. Like, this is what we all, like a lot of us, wanted for Horvat at the beginning of the year. So I really don't get this big movement like Horvat's got to get more ice. Horvat, no, he's in the perfect spot right now. Just leave him exactly where he is. Let him play his 17 minutes. Sometimes it'll be 19. Sometimes it'll be 15. It'll average out at 17 and change. Let him be in that wheelhouse and let him, Burrows, and Berchi try to take advantage of matchups against, you know, third lines, against third pairings and all of that, and watch them continue to gain confidence, continue to score goals, and continue to prove that they can be like offensive. I don't know, do you even call them secondary scoring? Like, they're
primary scorers.
They're the
right
primary
now.
Scorers, yeah. Right now.
But you're right. Bo Horvat and Berchi are in a pocket right now. I think people say, well, look what he's doing with 17 minutes. Imagine what he'd do with 24 minutes, but it doesn't work that way. And so I'm kind of with you here. Just ride this thing. Let's see. They got out on the road where they won't be able to dictate the matchups. What's that going to look like? They've got this stretch of 12 of 17 after Friday night away from home that I think will tell us a whole lot more about this hockey team. I mean, their home record is ridiculously good.
Okay, there's another theory going on about this. On this home, the difference between their home record and their road record. There's a theory that this team is much better, much more balanced, when Edler is on one pairing and Chris Tanev is on the other pairing. And there's only one road game that's been true for the entire season, and it was New Year's Eve in Edmonton, and they won.
And you were there to see. I was. You were there to see it.
I was. So yeah. We're gonna see how, you know, we're gonna put this theory to the test, whether the Canucks are actually better. Because before, it was the shutdown pair of Tanev and Edler, and three third pairings.
Yep. Yeah.
Or two other third
pairings.
Sorry.
Ran into a whole lot of problems along the way. And,
right.
And there are other games, obviously, where one or both of those guys was out of the lineup, too. So you're right. This is the best, most balanced that we've seen, 1 through 6, I think, with all due respect to Eric Goodbranson. He's on the outside right now, and this is the best balance that the Canucks have had defensively. But they're going to be tested here. They're going to see some decent teams. They're going to be in buildings that they haven't had a ton of. Like, I'm curious to see. They're on a fun little run right now. There's a good vibe around this group. The mood's pretty loose, but I'm curious to see what they look like when they get through this stretch of 12 of 17 out on the road.
Good Branson's healthy right now. What do you do?
Honestly, like, knowing what I know about the way the defense is playing,
yeah,
like he would be on the outside looking in.
Like, someone waves a magic wand tonight, and tomorrow morning, Goodbranson goes, you know what, boys?
The wrist is good.
I'm ready. Let's get her done. I'm ready to go in.
I think you have a tough time plugging him into your lineup. And yet I understand what he means optically.
I don't think you can play him. If he's healthy tomorrow, I don't think you can play him. I don't think, because it would be Trampkin coming out, and you cannot pull Trampkin out of that lineup.
Well, and further to that,
he's playing too well.
But if you pull Trampkin out, as you pointed out, it means Huddy and Guddy back together again, and nobody wants that.
No one wants that.
Ben Hutton doesn't want that.
No, you're
so,
right.
Yeah, it's going to be a fascinating off-season with Gudbranson and how they handle that and sort of where it all goes. I don't know. I saw that Florida called up Jared McCann today from the minors, 10 days ahead of a visit to Vancouver. Not a huge... Like, Drancer goes to Florida. Jared McCann gets called up.
That's right, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Coincidence?
Things are happening. Wheels are in motion.
It's already having an impact.
Pulling the strings, exactly.
Man.
How was Edmonton on New Year's Eve? Ringing in the New Year in Edmonton.
Man, it was like...
It was a good hockey game.
Freezing cold, great game. Yeah, it was fine. It was like, I don't know. I was in that like that arena, and everyone was telling me how great the arena was again. And it's really not that. Like, the sight lines are not good. It bows way out. Like Rogers Arena. It's got a super steep lines to it. But that top row and the press section, it's just
Shorty was griping all night about...
Was he?
Just too far away. You can't see anything.
Yeah, he's right.
Yeah, like for a Canadian...
Bad sight
Canadian
lines.
Market. Building a press box like that. And he said, he was comparing it. I think New Jersey's one of the other bad ones in the league. And
yeah, like the jewel of arenas. And they can't even get the seating right.
You see, you don't see that in the documentaries that they've done about it. Hey, what does the fact that the Canucks made a waiver claim this week mean? Does it signal anything? We've talked at times about, you know, not taking on any kind of salary or adding to the roster, but finally, and here on a win streak of all times, they elect to add a body in Reed Boucher.
What's Boucher's salary?
No, not much, but
he's minimum, isn't he?
Right, but there was just this sense that was one of the reasons they hadn't gone down waiver road in the past, was there was some sort of edict from above that they weren't allowed to or weren't supposed to.
Yeah, I don't think that if it was a big money player, I would suggest that the chances are this wouldn't have happened. I mean, they're taking a chance on a guy. What does it mean? To me, it means that they don't trust Rodin. What do you mean, what does it mean? It means that they got, to me, they got a guy that's super similar, does really similar things to what Anton Rodin should be doing.
Right. I mean, what does it mean in as much as they were on a 9-game losing streak and didn't elect to go the waiver wire route? Now they're on a win streak all of a sudden. The timing is a little curious. Hansen's out. I get that. Maybe earlier in the year. I mean, somebody had floated the idea, and it made a little bit of sense that earlier in the year, you know, Megna and Chaput were guys they had signed in the offseason. They wanted to give their own depth guys a chance, I suppose. And now Chaput can't come out of the lineup.
Chaput can't come out.
Like, Megna's been healthy.
Rodin can't get in.
Megna's been a healthy scratch. Chaput has not been out of the lineup.
He's played every game?
Yep.
The whole season?
Well, no. Since he arrived the Islanders game on the end of that New York road trip.
Yeah.
But see, he has not been a healthy scratch with no bottom line. Gaunce has come out of the lineup. Megna's come out of the lineup. But Chaput.
I can't even tell you a play. Like, can you even tell me like a play Chaput has made?
Nope. No, I can't.
I'm aware of Skilly on that line, on that fourth line.
And there's this idea that he's a center. Well, I think he won one faceoff last night. Like, Gaunce can play the middle. I don't know what it is. I don't know what the magic formula is that keeps Michael Chaput in this lineup.
I don't know what Gaunce does. Chaput does. I don't know what that fourth line does.
Before we're done here, Super Bowl pick.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I'd have, like... I mean, how are you not going to pick the Patriots? I'm not going to. I hate the Cowboys. I don't think the Seahawks are good enough. Kind of hoping the Falcons make it. I'd be excited by that.
Seahawks? Not for the Super Bowl. Seahawks get past the Lions?
This is the best. Yeah, they're going to crush the Lions. This is the best matchup for the Seahawks. Stafford's got the bad finger. They have no run. Like, Zach Zenner, give me a break. I think they win this one by 14 more, you know, double digits, big time win. What's your Super Bowl pick? You're huge, like...
No, I'd kind of like to see the Atlanta Falcons. I'm not buying Dallas Cowboys with the rookies.
Yeah,
I think at some point that's going to catch up to them. They look fallible. Your Eagles took the Cowboys down.
Oh, come on. That was like a preseason game.
I know it was.
Let's Falcons are. I'm on board with that being the team of the podcast.
We'll get some signs made up.
What did you think? Like so that. What happened when you heard the Drancer news? What did you think?
Well, I think a few of us had an inkling before it came out.
Oh, you did?
Well, don't look at me like that. Look, I bunked with this guy in Buffalo. I've got some secrets.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
You know things.
I just wondered, did he write his own press release? Like, that's bad form, isn't it, if you're writing your own press release?
I didn't read the press
release.
Didn't
the communications guy gets his own? I thought that was kind of funny. I got a kick out of that because I don't think around the league too many communications guys getting hired would get their own full-page press release.
Right, I don't know.
But there aren't many communications guys around the league like Drancer.
That's right.
So I'm all for the press release. I had no problem with the press release. I just wondered, did he write his own press release?
Right. I don't,
because nobody would know his story better than him.
That's
like,
true.
So it would make sense.
What's in? Why? What's in it? What does it say?
Oh, it's awesome. It built up his background and.
Oh really?
Oh yeah. You know, it's good. It read well. So I bet it probably was him that wrote it.
I bet he did that.
Yeah.
I tried to interview him. He blew me off. Said he can't do any interviews. Not doing any interviews.
Panthers are here in like 10 days. Middle of January, they're here. So
I know. Can we scrum him
at the podium? I think.
I want to scrum.
No, remember, Luongo came back, went to the podium.
That's right.
This time, Florida comes through. It'll be Drancer at the podium.
That big, I think. I think that he's that important.
Well, the hiring got a hell of a lot of play in this market.
Did it?
I thought so.
Who picked it up? Wasn't it just me and like
no.
Who?
Oh, I saw. Well. I saw other outlets.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I did see it a couple different places.
And it's great. I mean, it's a fascinating story.
It
really
is.
And good for him. And he'll do a nice job down there. And looking forward to seeing him when he comes back through town. And we'll always have Skybar
and the jorts.
Yeah.
The good times.
Exactly.
And maybe once again, because I guess he'll be at all the drafts now.
You would think so.
So.
From the riser at the back of the room to the table.
Yeah.
Somewhere. Eh? Yeah.
And what was your deal in Buffalo? Like, where did you guys had some house or something?
Yeah, we Airbnb'd it on the outskirts of Buffalo.
What was the place like?
We got through the weekend.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, you had a bedroom and stuff?
I did, yes. I had my own bedroom.
Okay.
We had the upper floor of a house, and it worked fine. It was, middle to, lower end of Buffalo.
Right.
But so it was all right.
And what do you say about the people that are saying like, oh, like, is this a good hire? Like, he didn't have enough experience. He's never done PR before.
He's a communicator. He's a fascinating guy to sit down
and talk
with.
You agree
with that, eh? Yeah, no, he'll be fine. I have no issues there.
Yeah.
And he's got a staff. Like, there are other people already in place doing the hands-on,
right.
In the room kind of stuff. So he comes in, oversees it. And again, he's a good communicator. I think he'll do a good job. He'll do a good job.
Yeah, I mean, I wish that, like, I think that he has this spot in the media. Like, he kind of filled this area in Vancouver that no one else can really fill or has been able to fill. I guess there's an opening now for the next Drancer to kind of step in, because he was doing things I'm not really capable of doing. I don't know anyone else around here that's capable of doing, or he thinks in a way that I don't think a lot of other media guys think in. So I don't know who it's there. I kind of wished he was able to move to Vancouver and be up, because I think he makes the media more vibrant. I know over the years he's had me thinking the game differently and looking at things differently. And I think he's had that kind of impact on other people. So I think it's pretty unfortunate for us that he's not around.
I think one of the most fascinating things for me, and look, lots of people understand the idea of this Drancer character. Not a lot of, our listeners
right.
probably haven't had a chance to meet him
right.
in person.
Right.
He exists. He's a human being, I'm telling you.
Right.
Again, I bunked with him in Buffalo. but the idea of, the impact that he had on the Vancouver market in a relatively short period of time, living in Toronto. That was the other layer. Like, I don't think a lot of people, the reverence we have for Drancer.
Yeah.
And he did. He worked in the Vancouver market. Remotely, he was based in Toronto.
Yeah, you forget about that.
Which I always thought was interesting, because in reverse, it would never fly. Like, imagine somebody covering the Toronto market from Vancouver.
It would never work.
Oh.
Those guys would box him out. You'd never get anywhere.
Well, the people of Toronto would revolt that somebody in Vancouver
right.
Would be able to cover their hockey team better than most of the local guys were doing it.
Right.
So really, that was a fascinating
Vancouver
sort of
hates Toronto. Why did we accept Drancer?
Well, because he was a Vancouver guy at heart.
Okay, I see.
So he never relinquished the Vancouver card.
He has this very disarming way.
That's his biggest skill, I think.
He is super, like, he is really arrogant and super confident, but he does it with this really disarming, calming way. Like, I mentioned it last night in the province. Like, I always felt when I was arguing with him or debating him about something, like, I kind of think back on those debates, and it's like, he's patting me on the head. He's like pouring warm milk into my throat, give me a passy, and like laying me down in the crib and putting me to bed. And I think this all makes sense. And then later on, I think, fuck, that guy is super arrogant, man. But he does it with a wink, and he's got a pretty good sense of humor. And
he got rattled, though. I flew to Toronto.
Yeah, definitely get rattled.
Well, a couple of times, and you asked for best stories last night, and I offered up a couple, but one that I didn't was I flew to Toronto, and he picked me up at the airport, and we drove down to Buffalo for the draft, and we got to the border. So we're driving across the border, Niagara Falls, I guess, and he tried to chat up the border guard. Like, he was worried for the 3 kilometers before the border. He was trying to come up with a strategy of how he was going to handle the border guard. And ultimately, he went with, I'm going to try to chat up the border guard. And the border guard had none of it. And then it totally rattled him. Like, it was so funny. On the other, we got through.
Why did he want to chat up like, the border guard?
We had nothing to hide.
Just answer the questions. I know. Who comes up with that plan?
But he
who comes up with the plan to chat up the border guard?
Answer does.
That looks super suspicious when you do that.
I know. And so we got through, and then he was so rattled on the other side, and it took him a couple of minutes just to, like, collect his thoughts. And yeah, so.
Oh, my God. Man. I've honestly, he's been part of the Provies, like, from the beginning. Like, I've probably had him more Drancer mentions than, like, half of the Canucks since that time. So it's going to be tough. Like, I've got another hole to fill. Like, who's going to become that next?
I know, we got to cut the cord.
That next foil.
Yeah.
Like, he was a great foil.
Open auditions for the Provies right now.
And he seemed to get, like, there was a couple times he would call me up and say, like, dude, I think that you went too far there. But I'd be like,
oh, he'll still call you up and offer that, I'm sure.
Yeah, probably.
He can still, you know, he'll be a part of the Provies family always.
Just, I mean, the memories, right?
There you go.
We've always, memories.
Always got Shed the memories, tear. Yes. All right, give me a number. How far does this win streak go for the Vancouver Canucks?
Oh, I think 19. Are we not headed toward 19?
Does it survive this weekend?
I think that they likely lose, unfortunately, the Markstrom star. Again, Markstrom's going to get screwed. He's going to get the second half of back-to-backs. They're going to no show in Calgary, and they're going to lose that second half.
All right. Well, we will be watching. You will be covering the Provies after every Canucks game. This podcast, a presentation of Eagle Ridge GM and Coquitlam, proud sponsors of Community Hockey, Eagle Ridge GM, your one-stop car and truck center where everyone is part of their hockey family. Check them out online, eagleridgegm.com. For Botchford, I'm Jeff Patterson. That's it for another podcast. We look forward to the Provies again after the next Canuck game on Friday night at home to the Calgary.
Wow, really getting some Provies plugs.
Thank you.